Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Hantoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. He has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 20 years to support you when your health matters. It's Dr. Hantoon's intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered by Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. Doc Rick calls that being proactive, and he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from this generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
I'm here with Bruce Bagan of B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're talking about making home pools and spas green.
As always, it's great speaking with you, Jimmy.
You are the exclusive pool builder that offers the IntelliPool and IntelliSpa.
Jimmy, green is about more than just energy. It's about safety and cleanliness as well.
What makes up an Intelli system?
As far as what's green, it includes a programmable IntelliFlow pump with its built-in shutoff feature that meets New York and New Jersey's requirements for new pools. We use heat pumps that reduce heating costs. We offer solar heating as well. For those people who wish to reduce or eliminate chemicals in the pool, we can install a system that makes their water virtually chemical-free.
Thanks for informing our listeners, Bruce. If you need to contact a pool professional about your pool, call B&B Pool and Spa Center, 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge, and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com, or call 800-594-2137. That's bbpoolandspa.com, 800-594-2137.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Hantoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located in Newburgh, New York. And I'm here with you each week to share some information I feel is important for your health and the health of your family and friends. And when you have questions, I will ask you to go to thealternativehealthcarenetwork.com and consult with any of the providers listed on the site. Each one of the providers offers you a unique opportunity to support your health when your health matters. And if we do not answer your questions fully while on the show, please consider contacting any one of us directly for the answers that you seek. My direct phone number is area code 845-561-BACK or 561-2225, or you can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's D-O-C-R-I-C-K at spineboy.com, and it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding with the concerns that you have. And the gentleman that helps me do that every week is, his name is Mark Sabin, and he's sitting in studio across from me. We want to say welcome, Mark, and welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Thank you so much, Doc Rick. I'm really happy to be here to talk to you about a subject that I'm very curious about. It has to do with the microbial life that lives in your body, particularly or most importantly in your digestive tract, and it's called the microbiome, and it's responsible for most of your immune system health, isn't it?
Yes, it is. 70% of your immunity is found in your gut. It's made up of the microbiome, and it's an important part to keep us healthy.
And you talk a lot about the importance of having a good balance with those microbes for your health.
Yes. The best thing that anybody can do in order to help maintain their health is to make sure that they're getting good ingredients and make sure that their microbiome is being properly maintained. We have things that we do to ourselves knowingly and unknowingly that helps to disrupt that balance. Majority of it happens because of the kinds of foods that we eat, but then there's also medications and there's things in our water and other chemicals and stuff put into our food, like fluoride and bromine and chlorine and of course antibiotics.
And of course a lot of that is unavoidable whether you eat well or not.
Correct.
So before we get deeper into this discussion, could you describe a little bit more precisely what the microbiome is?
Well, it's a combination of healthy yeasts, candida, bacteria, enzymes, as well as healthy food within the digestive system to maintain the healthy microbiome. And it's all of those components put together help to make up this very unique and specific balance of these different ingredients that help to break the foods down and helps to assimilate the food properly and helps maintain keeping the bad things out and allowing the good things in.
It's so interesting that we're talking about bacteria and fungi and things like that and all those things which don't sound very appealing, and yet it sounds like they're very beneficial.
Yes, they all work like a well-oiled machine and create an orchestra within the digestive tube that allows everything to work really well together, unless, of course, it's out of balance, and then we're going to have problems.
So there has to be some kind of a relationship between the bacteria and the fungi, between the different things, the different kinds of microbes that are in your gut, and how they interact with one another.
Yeah, it's a community, and it's a happy, balanced community. They support one another and assist in their mutual survival by keeping each other in check and in a healthy, balanced way, and that ultimately helps to support their main benefactor, which is the body itself, and they live within the body just like we live on the earth, and if we treat the earth properly, then the earth will support us. If we don't treat the earth properly, then it won't. Well, same thing with your microbiome inside your body.
Well, it's so interesting that, you know, scientists are reporting these days that these microscopic inhabitants of our bodies may be subtly altering our moods and the emotions that we have, and even perhaps our personalities. And this is something that you've known about for a long time.
Yes, as this was something that interested me even before I turned 20 years of age.
And the gut microbial life that appears to alter gene activity in the brain and the development of key regions involved in memory and learning.
Yes, and it's based on how the microbiome interacts with what we are attempting to digest and what that means for the foods that we consume. And if we're eating high quality foods and the microbiome does its job properly, then all the chemicals, all the hormones, all the prostaglandins, all the ingredients that the body needs in order to function properly and regulate how our brain chemistry is and how the brain functions and how everything else functions is all balanced.
And you know, one of the things that just struck me is that people who, a lot of people who use alcohol to a large extent, you find that a certain amount of alcohol consumption is associated with anger, great anger. And according to the Chinese medical theory, if I remember this correctly, anger is located in the liver, and the liver is where the alcohol actually is being dealt with by the body.
Right. That's where it's processed and filtered and assimilated, if you will. And so, yeah, anger is the chief emotion associated with the liver. And so anything that we do that puts stress on the liver is ultimately going to lead to liver pathology. And alcohol is certainly one of those things. But it's fascinating that it has a blocking effect initially, but it has a damaging effect secondarily. And so when a person has liver stress, perhaps reaching for alcohol, perhaps reaching for sugar, perhaps reaching for anything that helps to make the person feel empowered is what they'll probably reach for. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be long-term healthy for them.
Yeah, and it can have inverse consequences. So this the microbiome and having a balanced microbiome or an imbalanced microbiome may be part of what these psychiatric symptoms as people that vary amongst individuals may be related to that or the medications that they're taking.
Well, I'm sure it's a combination of both, as each microbiome is unique. Giving everyone the same medication only creates more complications. And so what's important to appreciate is if you're a healthcare practitioner and you're working with your patient, it's important to understand who your patient is and what their lifestyle is about and how they look at the world, and maybe have a questionnaire that helps give you a sense of how their brain works so that you can help them in an appropriate manner specific to them, not just the one size fits all that's so prevalent in our society with healthcare.
Mm-hmm. And I also read in the research for today's show that there are clinical trials suggesting that probiotic supplements, something that you've been recommending since I've known you, can be used to help treat mood disorders.
And isn't that fascinating and forward thinking of the people who are introducing that information? It's like, okay, well, yeah, if we make sure that the microbiome is balanced and working properly, might that have an effect on your mood?
It makes sense when you think about it. Now, it's interesting that by the age of three, by the time you're 3 years old, your gut will contain about 100 trillion microbes. And according to estimates, there are about 500 different bacterial species that call your intestines home. So there's 30 or 40 40 species that make up the bulk of that population. That's a kind of interesting idea.
And that's the nearest that we can tell based on the instrumentation that we have available now. And it could be more, but the point is that they're doing the research, and I appreciate them doing the research because, you know, there's a premise out there called Occam's Razor, which basically states in the lack of empirical evidence, the simplest answer is usually the right answer. And so as we start to understand how all of this works, what the importance is of keeping it balanced and the effects that that has on our overall health and on our mood and our ability to go through life properly, I think that, you know, medicine's going to have to find its place. Its place won't be at the head of the line. I think the person that will be at the head of the line will be the person who actually helps teach people how to maintain balance and health and harmony and properly regulate a person's microbiome.
It's so interesting that, you know, when you think about 500 different bacterial species, what you're talking about is a tremendous amount of diversity in the gut. It's not like if you go and you could get an off-the-shelf probiotic, and it may have millions of living microbes in it, but they're not that many varieties.
Right. Well, what's interesting and what I think is true, and I don't have any specific science experimentation to validate this because I don't have billions of dollars in my pocket that I can just devote towards this kind of research, but what I've seen over the years in terms of what I've done with patients for the last 25 years is giving them some foundational ingredients as far as their probiotic goes that has a couple of different strains and then nurturing those strains because they're going to help to grow other strains. And if we go back to the Bible and you take Adam and Eve, they were the two human beings that came together and now we've got over 7 billion people on this planet, and if you know, agree with what the Bible says, it started with two.
Yeah, right. And when you think about that, and you think of the role of parenting and grandparents, and the way that genetics play a role in family members' microbial composition, it turns out that within a given family, the microbiomes are more similar than they are in unrelated people. So, and almost, I mean, the most alike that you would find are in identical twins. So it seems that genetics also help to determine some of our intestinal inhabitants.
Well, I would first attribute it to lifestyle choices and the epigenetics because what we've learned, if you learn from your parents, then chances are you're going to behave similarly to how your parents behaved with minor changes as a result of technology and how things evolve. But if your parents taught you how to eat and you eat the same way that they eat, then chances are that your microbiome is going to be very similar to theirs. And it's more about lifestyle and epigenetics versus the actual genetics itself.
Interesting. Very interesting conversation. We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the alternativehealthcarenetwork.com. When we get back, I would like to talk to you some more about the microbiome and how it relates to the nerves in your body.
Absolutely. But please listen to these commercials from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the alternativehealthcarenetwork.com.
You're listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Are you being prepared for a life-altering medical procedure? Are you facing a lifetime of daily medication? There are other options. Get an alternative healthcare second opinion. Too often people don't seek alternatives until after surgery permanently changes them, or until after medications trigger worrisome side effects. You may end up with countless concerns likely to last a lifetime. Don't delay getting an alternative healthcare second opinion. If you know your options, you might make a different, informed decision. Remember, you can still have the options for surgery or medication. Take the time to meet before having life-altering surgery or taking symptom-masking medications. Learn what you can do for your health naturally. And if you've already had a procedure or are taking daily medication, come find out what natural support you can do to restore your health. If you'd like an alternative healthcare second opinion, call 845-561-2225. Your current and future health depend on you. Call 845-561-BACK before committing your life to surgery or medication. Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, serving all your healthcare needs naturally.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you are listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. And this morning, Mark and I are discussing the microbiome.
Well, and one of the interesting things that I'm finding out is that it seems that the gut bacteria that you have may actually affect the brain structure itself.
Well, it can, and most practitioners are too busy to check into this because of the restrictions with care and what they need to do to treat the patient and stay within insurance guidelines. So New research is you know, it takes roughly 20 to 30 years for the research to actually make it to the patient itself. And so that's because of they got to figure out how to monetize things.
So it's so interesting that the bacteria in your belly might actually have subtle influences on your thoughts, on your moods, on your behavior.
Yes, and in combination with how you are stimulating them based upon the foods that you are eating, it will help to appreciate whether a person is level-headed and balanced versus somebody who's up and down and, you know, possibly manic and depressed or those different extremes.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the microbiome is made up of more than just these silent partners that help us digest our food.
I guess you could say that, yes.
And it turns out a complex cocktail of these biologically active compounds, and it turns out that the gut microbes account for all these differences in the way we work, and that even psychiatric conditions can be related to the way the nerve fibers are insulated.
Absolutely, and as a cocktail of everything within your digestive system will influence what is absorbed and the body's response to that based upon the chemical makeup and the hormonal response to it. And so, yeah, it's all one big, huge orchestration of chemicals related to what we're putting in and how the microbiome processes all of that.
And when you relate it to the nerves, there's got to be a two-way line of communication between the gut microbes and your brain.
Yes, it's always a two-way communication within the brain and any part of the body. And the nerve fiber insulation is when it's compromised, then the neurological responses will be altered, and this would then potentially lead to psychiatric disorders and other imbalances associated with are the nerve impulses being properly communicated to the brain and from the brain back to the body.
So explain to us, how does the nerve fiber insulation affect that?
Well, if it's not properly insulated, then the nerve impulses are going to get corrupted. If it is properly insulated, then it's going to flow as fast as possible, and it's going to communicate in a very efficient way, and the information that is going to be transmitted is going to also be transmitted completely, and so then there wouldn't be any issues. If the nerve fiber insulation is compromised, then that's just, you know, it's like if you don't have the proper insulation on the wiring in your home, you could potentially set a fire in the wall or what have you.
Mm-hmm. So does the nerve fiber insulation have to do with multiple sclerosis?
When the nervous system develops a problem within the myelin sheath, the neurological impulses that are transmitted because of the myelin sheath, they work the way that they should. When a person has multiple sclerosis, they develop plaquing on the nerves or nerve tissue, and so what ends up happening is the myelin sheath breaks down and you get essentially plaquing or the heavy metal deposits or calcification, and the nerve impulses don't work properly, and then they're looking at the plaquing and they're calling it multiple sclerosis.
Uh-huh. And according to this new study, your gut microbes might actually affect the structure and the function of your brain by regulating that myelin sheath and the processes that whereby the nerve fibers are able to be insulated and conduct those impulses properly.
Yes, that is true.
Okay. So, you know, might it be that it's possible to treat some of these debilitating conditions that the demyelinization happens where like multiple sclerosis and other psychiatric disorders by simply altering the composition of the gut's microbial menagerie?
Well, understanding what you're asking, I would say yes. And since science has not standardized that as of yet, this type of treatment is not used currently. And it, you know, you'd have to find a real forward thinking doctor, practitioner who's willing to take a look at that essentially see what the results are when they're working with their patients, but it would be important for the doctor to fully inform the patients in terms of what it is that they would be working towards.
Well, I would assume that if they're working towards this, that this would be in conjunction with other things. I mean, it wouldn't necessarily be a standalone process.
Well, I guess that would depend upon the situation at hand.
Mm-hmm. So might it be possible to use this process to treat other debilitating, demyelinating diseases like multiple sclerosis or other psychiatric disorders like Parkinson's disease or depression or pain, chronic pain, autism? Could those things be related to this microbiome?
I'm sure it could be, and the ability to absorb and assimilate your food and making sure it is real will help to eliminate just about every form of disease, especially the nutritional deficiency diseases like heart disease and diabetes and cancer, etc. And you know, I've seen tremendous strides made within my nephew who was, you know, diagnosed with one of the worst cases of autism that they'd seen just by my brother and sister-in-law changing his diet. Simply by changing his diet, he started communicating properly. And, you know, they've done a significant amount of other work, and my nephew is a very special young person, just like all people are. But at the end of the day, it's just for me to watch the transformation that's gone on by cleaning up his diet and cleaning up the kinds of foods that he eats and getting rid of some of the crap foods that are out there, along with improving his microbiome, has just been miraculous.
And I think, you know, we've had other shows where we've talked about things like the use of the chemicals that are being used in wheat, like Roundup, which are creating all these other far-reaching problems. And for anybody that has some of these other conditions, certainly cleaning up that part of your diet and getting rid of these things where you're taking in chemicals that you don't really need to, and improving your gut microbiome has consequences to your health that were very, very positive.
Right. It can only have positive benefits.
Well, this is great. It's great stuff, Doc Rick. We need to take another short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I have a few more questions about the microbiome and what you can do to improve your own.
Yes, but if you're out there listening to this show and you're having questions that your primary care practitioner is not answering for you, and you're not necessarily happy with the results that you're getting, please consider what this next commercial says, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
You've been going to the doctor for years. They order you blood work, give you a pill to cover up your symptom, and send you on your way. The side effects to that medication could not only be dangerous, but life-threatening, and what you don't know can kill you. I'm Dr. Richard Huntoon of the Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. For all the latest on improving your health, I'm here to answer any questions and helping you towards a healthier life. Call Advanced Alternative Medicine Center at 561-2225 or go to spineboy.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. And today we're talking about your microbiome and the effects it has on your health and how your brain functions and your mood, etc.
Yeah, I mean, anybody that has any doubts about the fact that the microbiome has an influence on that would ought to think about having a gut feeling about something.
Yeah, when you have a gut feeling, you know, it's interesting. One of the shows that I watch periodically is NCIS, and they always talk about Gibbs' gut feeling, and he always knows what the truth is based upon how it feels in his gut.
Yeah, well, so when we're talking about probiotics as a regular part of a health-oriented diet, it turns out that even colicky babies seem to have less diversity in their microbiome than is normal for that age, and they seem to be predisposed to stress later on in life.
Well, that's interesting. I would have to say yes, that's true, because again, if you're not processing your food properly, that's going to create stress on your liver. That's going to create the basis for depression, lack of control. Brain isn't going to work the way that it should. And so I can see that if a mother is doing the right thing by breastfeeding their child, then the child's microbiome is going to be better than if they use formula. I mean, formula isn't going to influence the microbiome at all, other than in a negative way, because you're giving them, you know, processed sugar as opposed to high quality mother's breast milk that has a thing called colostrum and the other microbes that are associated that are being passed through the breastfeeding itself.
And, you know, I was watching the morning news one day, and I saw a young man on there who had a lifetime of problems with acne, and nothing worked. He did every kind of treatment possible until finally somebody that was a nutritional specialist recommended that he take probiotics. And as soon as he did, he started getting better. And this is really interesting, because when I was growing up, the treatment they used for acne was to give antibiotics.
Right. Which is interesting. And sometimes I have to look at what the understanding is about something. And if you do the opposite, you may actually get better results than if you're doing what you think is or what you've been taught to be the truth. And so, yeah, people who have acne issues, I tell them to stay away from the antibiotics. I tell them to increase their probiotics. and increase their high-quality vitamin E-type foods and real vitamin E, and that will help them.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about probiotics that you can take in a form that you get from, in the refrigerated section of the health food store or something like that? Are those different or less good or better? Or how do they relate to the things that you might get from eating foods like yogurt? Is that enough? Can you get enough probiotics from something like that?
Well, not nearly enough based on the overexposure to antibiotics, chlorine, bromine, and fluorine. I would say that you definitely cannot get enough. If you're going to try to get your probiotics from eating yogurt, you're going to have to eat about a gallon of yogurt every day. And I just don't know anybody who's going to be willing to eat a gallon of plain yogurt every day.
Yeah, because you really can't have it with the sugar and the fruit and all that other stuff.
Right, put the fruit and the fermented sugar products in there, and then that actually destroys the good probiotics, and then you're not getting the beneficial effect of it. You're just actually feeding the system more sugar.
So speaking about fermented foods, what about things like sauerkraut and kimchi that are fermented?
Again, be prepared to eat a lot. But yeah, if you're eating that regularly on a daily basis, then that's going to be beneficial for your microbiome.
And there's in the new rage of the kombucha chi, the kombucha tea, how beneficial is that?
Well, again, be prepared to drink a lot. Probiotics, when you eat, is really the best way to save yourself. Taking those probiotics every time you eat is important, and you want to get about 15 billion colony-forming units per serving. And ideally, what I've seen over the last 25 years is that, if somebody's taking 15 billion colony-forming units three times a day, their digestive system works very, very well. And if they have things like irritable bowel or Crohn's or diverticulitis or something like that, then I'm going to actually ask them to double that colony-forming unit. Take at least 30 billion colony-forming units three times a day.
How many pills would you have to take to get 30 billion?
Two.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you get 15 billion in one capsule.
One little capsule.
One little capsule has 15 billion colony-forming units.
So that explains how you can have so many trillions of microbes in your gut and not be a huge person.
Correct.
This is really fascinating. So the last question I really have for today is are all probiotics alike? I mean, how do you know that you're getting a good one?
Well, you need to find a practitioner who knows all about them and ask all your questions and choose for yourself. If they recommend probiotics, what kind of probiotic do they recommend? Do they have it in the refrigerator at their office? Is it kept on a shelf without any refrigeration because nobody wants to, incur that expense? And they'll say that, well, this is a special strain that doesn't need refrigeration. These microbes are live organisms, and they need to be kept live, and they're kept live at refrigeration temperature. And if it's too hot or if they're not refrigerated, then you're essentially taking dead bacteria, and there's no benefit to that at all.
Wow. Well, this has really been a fascinating conversation, Doc Rick, and I appreciate all the answers to the questions that I had. I'm sure that our listeners out there have other questions that they want to know because maybe they have a situation in their own lives or somebody in their family's lives where they're considering, I've had this problem, I've had moods and swings and problems with thinking and all these kinds of things that seem completely unrelated to what's going on in your gut. But maybe what we've been able to talk about today is raise some questions that they'd like to ask you. And what would be the best way to ask those questions of you?
Well, the best way is to give my office a call at 845-561-BACK or 561-2225. You can speak to me directly. If you're a little bit shy on the phone, but you still want to communicate with me, you can send me an email at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick@spineboy.com. I will get back to you. I will answer your questions. I will give you the information that you need to make a more informed choice with your health when your health matters. And I really appreciate you taking the time to tune in. And anybody who's already reached out to me, I appreciate you for being proactive. That's it for this week's show. I ask you to tune back in next week. Same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying I look forward to supporting you when your health matters.